The report from Eagle Forum. The Schlafly is a constitutional pro-family leader and the author of 20 books, including No High Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God, every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold. Visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Nice shoot. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement fee. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
It seems that everywhere you turn to these days, people are talking about the health benefits of silver. But don't be fooled into believing all silver is the same. One silver solution has been clinically shown to be hundreds of times stronger than colloidal or ionic silver. That's supernatural silver. It can be used internally as a powerful immune system enhancer to fight off bacteria and viruses. Supernatural silver can be used topically to treat any type of wound or skin issue. It's even gentle enough to be used on the ears, eyes, and sinuses. And unlike harsh drugs and antibiotics, supernatural silver has no side effects. Available as a liquid or a gel that you can use every day to stay healthy and well. To experience outstanding customer service and to place your order, visit SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver, only at SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com.
War Sport introduces the LVOA AR. This highly anticipated rifle is the embodiment of the low-visibility operation concept. Made and designed in the USA, the LVOA combines mil-spec and specially designed features, bringing a flash-shooting, extremely durable AR from concept to reality. Find out more, go to lvoa.us. Warsport, making function and reliability on an extreme level. This is only the beginning.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America, after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Recognizing that America's most valuable resource is in their care, PNW Arms has forever changed the face of weapons science. Relentlessly pursuing research and development, PNW Arms is driven by exactitude. They have applied their collaborative skills, advancing ballistic science to a degree unimagined, both in existing ammunition potential and in creations yet to come. To find out more, go to PNWArms.com. At PNW Arms, their mission is nothing less than to change the face of the shooting industry forever.
Shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
All right, as we roll into the second hour, this is one of these days where I remind you that if you live in Colorado, Pennsylvania, Florida, Oklahoma, or Texas, you have an opportunity to do something that I would do in a heartbeat, and you can be a member of Texas/U.S. Law Shield. Joining me again from Texas/U.S. Law Shield is Edwin Walker. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. Michelle is out doing the deed today.
Well, Michelle, yeah, Michelle's got, she had some meetings to be at for the actually the entire week, so that's why I'm here doing this myself today.
I understand. So, what is, I had it on the tip of my tongue, have you been following the thing, we talked about this last week, the New Jersey mom who drove, or not the New, the Pennsylvania mom who drove into New Jersey, carrying her gun. How is that looking? Have you taken a look at that lately?
Well, I saw it whenever it happened. I haven't checked up on it recently.
I'm getting the impression that they may be considering some form of leniency for her.
Well, that would be very good.
It'd be very surprising coming out of New Jersey, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be, especially since they apparently showed absolutely no leniency to the guy who fell asleep in the bank parking lot with the guns in his truck.
It was just passing through. We'll have to double check on that. We'll revisit that later. Did you see the incident where the man walked in on the child molester and beat him into unconsciousness?
Yes, he certainly beat him to a fare thee well. Actually, that is, I don't know. You know, of course, everybody talks about it. That's everybody's, that's everybody's immediate response. Justly so. You know, if I catch somebody molesting my kid, I'm going to beat him or kill him or whatever. And in fact, in Texas, several years ago, maybe not been that long, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was that exact scenario. A man caught a supposed friend of the family molesting his very young daughter, 3, 4, 5 years old, I'm not quite sure, but a very young daughter, and actually wound up killing him. And the district attorney's office took no action against him. You know, they found that anytime somebody dies, they always have to convene a grand jury.
Right.
But the prosecutor didn't push the case, the grand jury didn't indict, and so he was... He suffered no legal consequence as a result of killing somebody that he caught molesting his very young daughter.
Now, in what you're describing in Texas, because of the way that... What would have happened in Texas if he did not die, like with this? Because they didn't even... The police are just saying, well, he was just being a dad.
Yes.
What would that situation have been like if he had drawn a weapon on him and ventilated him, do you think? I mean, would they have just gone, well, he was just being a dad?
Well, yeah, I mean, in Texas, there's legal justification for that. It's you're allowed to use deadly force in defense of others, If you have a reasonable belief that one of a certain list of crimes is occurring, and one of those crimes is sexual assault and aggravated sexual assault, which molesting a child is both of those. So here in Texas, there's a legal presumption that if somebody uses deadly force in defense or to prevent one of those crimes from occurring, the crimes are murder, robbery, aggravated robbery, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, and aggravated kidnapping. If you have a reasonable belief that one of those crimes is being committed, Texas presumes you're justified in using deadly force in preventing that.
Is there any benefit now if there was a death? Would there still, in that particular instance, would there still be a grand jury convened?
Yes, and more likely than not, yes, because a grand jury is there. Here in Texas, nobody can be convicted of a felony without first being indicted by a grand jury. And so the grand jury is sort of a body. It's supposed to be independent, but it really is kind of used at the whim of the prosecutor. But it's an independent body that determines whether or not there's probable cause to believe that somebody committed a criminal offense. And so a grand jury a lot of times will be used in controversial cases or high-profile cases to basically provide a level of insulation for a district attorney to allow them to say, look, you know, I didn't pursue people politically. I didn't pursue people because it was popular. You know, the grand jury looked at this, they're an independent body, and they chose not to indict somebody. Or, you know, on the opposite side, they chose to indict somebody. So that's sort of one of the processes that particular characteristic of the JIT grand jury serves, is it allows the prosecutor to take a step back and not get personally or politically involved in a situation.
Now, would that shelter somebody if they've gone to a grand jury and they've been found to not be prosecutable? Does that shelter them from any sort of civil action?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It doesn't even really shelter them from any future criminal action because a grand jury, basically, you know, a crime will last as – you know, crimes have certain statutes of limitations.
Right.
If somebody shoots somebody and they're being accused of or they're being investigated or suspected of murder, then there's no statute of limitations on murder. And so a grand jury can refuse to indict somebody or no-bill somebody, you know, a month after the murder, and then years later a new district attorney takes over, a new district attorney wants to reopen a case, and they go to a brand new grand jury, and they could indict somebody for murder. You know, somebody who had previously been no-billed by the grand jury. Now, as a practical matter, that rarely happens. Most of the time, the only time a new grand jury is reconvened to examine a case, or a grand jury will examine an old case, is if there's new evidence found, evidence that was not originally presented to the first grand jury. But in theory, that could happen. Also, it's interesting that you mentioned the civil side of it, because most states have a civil liability immunity statute. They say that if you're found to be justified, then you suffer then you're not monetarily liable for any damages for your justified use of force and deadly force. However, one of the really strange things is that whenever you're no-billed or no charges are ever brought against you, there's been no finding. And so a plaintiff is still allowed to file a civil suit. The civil court will now become the judge of whether or not you were or were not justified, and then your liability will either, you know, end with a finding that you're justified, or you could be found financially liable. So a grand jury proceeding really in the big picture has no bearing on whether or not, you know, it certainly has no bearing on whether a civil case can be brought against you, but then it may legally have no bearing. You know, it's factually persuasive, but it's not legally prohibitive to prevent a finding of civil liability against you.
Coming up on the first break, did that klaxon signify that you need to grab the AR and run out and defend Texas/U.S. Law Shield?
No, that's just my regular ringer, but no. Michelle's pulling double duty. Not only is she in these meetings, but she's also got the emergency hotline as well.
I got you. Well, when we get back, speaking of grand juries, that Burleson County no-knock raid saga seems to be continuing. I'd like to get your take on that. Texas/U.S. Law Shield, if you go to their website, if you live in one of the five states they're operating in, and if you use promo code BILLRADIO1, lowercase BILLRADIO, the number one, you are going to get 14 months for the price of 12. And this completes your self-defense kit. It really does. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load. How do you stay ahead of the curve in technological innovation? Ask STI. From its humble beginning, STI has become the manufacturer of the most highly sought-after pistols in the world, with the 2011 product line leading the way in combat and competition. With a design for every use or need, STI has forever changed the face of competition, self-defense, and combat pistol applications. To find a dealer near you, go to STIguns.com.
STI, the surgery firearms at the highest level.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Whether you're a professional marksman or you've just taken your first shots, Mounting Solutions Plus has the optics, mounts, and accessories to help you make that perfect shot. From 22 to 50 cal, they'll aim you in the right direction with quality products from Magpul, Aimpoint, EOTech, Night Force Plus, and much, much more. They can even support your local gun shop with a no minimum dealer program. Go to MountsPlus.com today and use checkout code RADIO to get 10% off your entire purchase. Modern patriots and operators choose the industry-leading number one patented piston system from Adams Arms. The Adams Arms rifle is the natural evolution of the original Stoner design. All of its strengths, none of the weaknesses. With a lifetime warranty and made in the USA, this life-coating processed AR-15 is available in numerous configurations only at Adams Arms. To order, visit the website at adamsarms.net. Adams Arms, precision technology for the modern warrior.
Now, more pounding from the blunt object.
And welcome back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in is 1-800-313-9443. If you have any questions, this is one of these times. If you have a question about the legalities of self-defense, this is the time to make the call, because Edwin Walker from Texas/U.S. Law Shield has joined me. In Burleson County, am I correct in assuming that the powers that be just won't let this thing go over this no-knock raid where the police officer got killed?
The thing about it is they certainly should, the subject matter for which the search warrant was written, which was marijuana, I believe they're charging him with manufacture and distribution, whatever, is they will still, they said they're still going to pursue those charges. But with the charges of, you know, the resulting death of the police officer in the no-knock raid, I mean, you know, the grand jury no-billed on that, and so it would, you know, it's going to be one of those things. It's sort of, like I just told you, a grand jury or a district attorney can continue to bring these things up until they get the case in front of a friendly grand jury. And so, you know, the only time that a criminal prosecution stops is if somebody goes to trial and they're found not guilty, then, of course, all of their double jeopardy rights will attach at that point, or the statute of limitations runs, and therefore they would be legally prohibited from pursuing a criminal charge. Murder, especially capital murder, has no statute of limitations. So this man's life will be continuously, he potentially could be followed by this for the rest of his life until he gets indicted, goes to trial, and is found not guilty. And then at the point that he's found not guilty, then he would be free from future prosecution. But yeah, if the prosecutor wants to present it to a new grand jury, they can. If a new prosecutor gets elected, you know, in several years, he can present it. So in theory, this case could potentially, you know, never go away until jeopardy attaches.
After, in the fallout of all of this, I have the police departments in Texas taken a look at this and said, maybe we need to revisit this whole idea of the no-knock warrant serving process. Or has that even come up?
Well, I don't know that the police departments have, but I am seeing a surprising, and you know, I'm just being cynical here, but I'm seeing a surprising segment of the population that is taking the position that no-knock warrants need to be re-examined. That, you know, in the past, everybody's been rah, 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 pro-police. The police can do no wrong. You know, anybody who shoots a cop deserves to be put to death, et cetera, et cetera. However, there is, I've seen people who disagree with no-knock warrants or question their validity or question their practicality more and more. And that may be a result of several things. Number one, people may be believing that police, you know, do have too much power at one point. People may think that the police breaking in your home is just as bad as an unlawful intruder breaking your home. And another thing that I think is quite persuasive is it involves our entire reexamination of the war on drugs. Because, like I said, these are all drug warrants. I mean, there's, you know, they're not, the police are not busting into houses at 3 o'clock in the morning to save kidnapped children. You know, these are all drug warrants. And so the I think the population's saying, look, this is, you know, this is a ramification of the quote unquote war on drugs that we're just not willing to accept.
I'm in the middle of listening to The Rise of the Warrior Cop. I don't want to read it, but I am listening to it by Ridley Balko. And I'm, you know, in the space of time, in early 1970, there was one SWAT team.
Yes, Los Angeles.
And that's, you know, the whole idea of SWAT originated with Chief Willie. I don't know if he was chief then or not, but it originated with former police chief Daryl Gates.
Yeah, and he was the head of LAPD special investigations or special crimes or something. He was the protege of the previous police chief, the very
right.
famous one, Judge Chief Parker, I believe it was.
And then all of it. Out of that, we've gone from, you know, I believe the first year that we had no-knock warrants, we had four served nationwide. And then in just the space of like 5 or 6 years, it's jumped to 500. And like you said, you know, the feds are the ones that led the way on this phenomenon because of the war on drugs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the Supreme Court, The Supreme Court, a lot of times, they have, whenever they've examined police action under the Fifth and Fourth and Eighth and Sixth Amendments, they really, a lot of times, what they do is instead of drawing a bright line in the sand, I guess that's a mixed metaphor. You can't really draw a bright line in the sand. Instead of drawing a bright line and saying, look, this is the police activity we will find unacceptable for constitutional purposes, they always limit the case to just the case that they're looking at. And so they're, if something is found to be a violation of the Fifth Amendment or the Fourth Amendment, the Supreme Court will always take precautions to say that our ruling is limited to this little set of circumstances. And so the police will go out and they will alter one of those elements. And they'll say, well, that case doesn't apply because we did, we changed X to Y. So it doesn't apply in this situation. And then that one has to go up all the way on appeal to see if that's going to be prohibited conduct. And so when the Supreme Court said, look, no-knock warrants, we don't recommend them. They are not a good idea. However, if the police say that there are these exigent circumstances or they can articulate that a no-knock warrant would lead to the destruction of evidence or endanger officer safety, then they're going to be acceptable. Well, the Supreme Court, they gave lip service to this is a very narrow, narrow, narrow circumstance that we think should occur. But, of course, the police will, you give them an inch and they'll take a mile. as far as saying, oh, well, the Supreme Court said, now all we got to do is write exigent circumstances. I believe that due to the information we received from the confidential informant that knock and announce would lead to the destruction of evidence. And bang, right. There you go. You're justified.
Well, where was it? Raleigh-Durham. In Raleigh-Durham, they have discovered that the police were gaining entry into homes by knocking on the door and saying, we had a hang-up 911 call, and we need to come in. And they found out that that was, in fact, a lie. And they found out that was, in fact, a policy among officers in Raleigh-Durham. Now, when they're getting these warrants together because of the quote-unquote exigent circumstances, and we're coming up on the next break, so we'll have to pick this up on the other side, how often are they actually giving out real, good information on that, or how often are they making it up just so they can get the no-knock warrant, or, That's the question I have about that, because just simply, I don't have a problem with the no-knock warrant in certain circumstances, but their tactics have changed, and they're serving these on illegal poker games and, guitar studio or guitar factories and, places they know they're not going to run into violence.
Right, and that's the thing about it is that there really needs to be some sort of reevaluation of our laws. Number one, are we passing too many laws? And number two, are all criminal laws created equal? Do we want the police to have the same right to serve a drug warrant or to enforce drug laws that they have to, save children from kidnappers?
We're rolling into the break. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Keenly aware of the similarity between tactical and competitive training, the Shooter Source fuses the two worlds together. Their product line is based on speed of movement, and the Shooter Source caters to both the three-gun competitor and the tactical operator. The Shooter Source specializes in the cutting-edge tools for any shooter of any discipline. See them on the range or online. Find out how at theshootersource.com. The Shooter Source, one philosophy encompassing all.
Ladies, with a U.S. divorce rate near 30% and this job market, looks matter. Breast enhancement or reduction, a tummy tuck or a little lipo can work wonders on you and your confidence. With hospital rates at fractions of U.S. prices and thanks to the recent Thai coup, unheard of low airfare and jaw-dropping deals on luxury hotel rooms. Provide a little info. Get a quote. Hit us up at AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Salient Arms International. Salient Arms takes your weapons platform and refines the most important functioning features, enhancing your weapons reliability. An SAI enhanced platform is the epitome of excellence and will dominate competition, self-defense, or combat. Visually striking and engineered to its fullest potential, discover the SAI commitment to excellence. To find out more, go to SalientArmsInternational.com. Salient Arms International. Innovation with you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Coming in November, and on a strictly need-to-know basis.
Here comes the first annual Texas International Firearms Festival, November 8th and 9th at the Best of the West Shooting Range in Liberty Hill, Texas, showcasing the best in firearms, ammo, and accessories. Try and buy, then head for the finest food truck cuisine. In November, it all comes together in Austin, Texas. For details, go to TexasGunFest.com. Do it today before this becomes common knowledge.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it.
Hey, gun grabbers, do you feel the pain?
I'm afraid of Americans.
All right, welcome back. On a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. My guest this hour from Texas / U.S. Law Shield is Edwin Walker. We're talking about the no-knock warrant. I made the comparison to Raleigh Durham where they were lying to gain entry into homes. When these certain police organizations go to a judge looking for that no-knock warrant, are they making up the exigent circumstance?
Well, the exigent circumstance doesn't really have to be. The thing is that a police officer's word, his sworn testimony, because all these warrants have to be based on affidavits, and they're sworn, their sworn affidavit is supposed to contain facts.
Right.
And so these are supposed to be facts. However, facts include hearsay statements. Facts include statements from other police officers. Facts include, so there's no real evidentiary standards as to these affidavits. And also keep in mind that there really is in this day and age a problem with the term, neutral magistrate.
Right.
Because all these magistrates, they're hopelessly intertwined with the state system.
Right.
They're buddies with the DAs, they're buddies with the cops, these are people they see on a daily basis. How is somebody, and it's just a fact of life, it's human nature, I'm not condemning them, but how can you say that somebody is truly going to be neutral whenever their buddy the cop that they see on a daily, on a weekly, maybe even a daily basis, brings them a warrant that talks about a person that they've never met before. You know, how is the judge really going to view those two people from a neutral perspective? And so, of course, they're going to give deference. You know, well, this warrant was brought to me by old John, and I've known John for 15 years, and John's the most honest, straight-up man I've ever known. And so, so their credibility is unassailable. And, based upon that, that's all the judge needs is to find that the affidavit is credible. They will sign the warrant, and the warrant will, it will allow the police to do whatever stated in the warrant. Fortunately, not to bog your listeners down with too much history, but the reason we have the Fourth Amendment was because of these pocket warrants and general writs of assistance that the British had, which basically allowed the British taxing agents and the British soldiers to have a fill-in-the-blank piece of paper. It's kind of, I wonder what they would have done if they would have actually had computers back then, how quickly they could have spit these out. But they had fill-in-the-blank pieces of paper where they stumbled upon somebody that they believed was committing a crime. Usually it was smuggling. That was the big crime of colonial America, that they were smuggling something. And so they would say, I get to go into ye old John Smythe's place and search around because I think he's got smuggled goods. And so the Fourth Amendment came about to say you can only have a warrant if it's based upon probable cause that somebody can articulate, if it names a particular place and particular items to be seized. And so, at least that hasn't gone away. But sometimes I've seen particular items listed as, any other contraband in the, and so, wow, that's not really particularized, but it's been viewed as valid.
Right. You're talking about the cronyism, the everybody knows everybody in the law enforcement system. Let's look at the case of, I don't know if you saw this 70-year-old man and woman in California. Somebody, some confidential informant in the neighborhood says, I smelled what seemed to me to be a crystal meth factory. So some cop goes into the cul-de-sac or on the street or something, and somehow or other, with his super senses, they determine that aroma is coming from one particular house, and they get a no-knock warrant for that one. Guy had no criminal history, no history of violence whatsoever. They come in, they kick in the door, and they shot him while he was asleep because he had a gun on the nightstand. Now, in the case of something like that, where that happens, do they ever revisit one of these no-knock warrants gone bad where they've got the wrong players, they've got the wrong house, and they kill innocent people? Does anybody ever sit back and say, that warrant we did the other day, that wasn't very good, was it?
Well, they're supposed to, and that's why there should be, there needs to be an outcry over, these things whenever they happen. There also needs to be some sort of accountability. However, with the current laws, with governmental immunity, and with this overarching good faith exception, which again is a purely a product of a Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court said basically if a police officer acts in good faith, they pretty much get away with anything. And so in order to get past governmental immunity, in order to get past a lot of these other protections the government has, you affirmatively have to show that the police officer acted in bad faith. Now, how often is that really going to happen, that you would have credible evidence that a police officer acted in bad faith? So with these types of protections that the police have, we're sort of left at their mercy. I mean, the most unfortunately, one of the really unfortunate things about the law is that somebody who has not done anything wrong actually has fewer remedies than somebody who has done something wrong. So anytime the police violate somebody's Fourth Amendment rights and they find contraband, the most expedient legal remedy is that the contraband is not allowed into evidence and the quote-unquote guilty party goes free, whereas somebody who has their Fourth Amendment rights completely violated, has their property destroyed, you know, maybe is killed or injured, and then they were found to be, you know, totally, completely, lawfully innocent, they really have no remedy because they never have a criminal case brought against them anyway. And so they're left solely with a remedy from the civil system, which even though, you know, if a city may look at something and say, you know, this absolutely was the wrong thing to do. However, governmental immunity provides us protection and we're not liable, so we're not paying anybody anything.
Well, I mean, in the case of this California warrant, okay, which is wrong on every level. When we're talking about credibility, doesn't this hurt the police and their credibility when they do something that is just a mammoth cluster? And
oh, yeah.
You killed innocent people and everything. And, I mean, it gets plenty of press. Are police departments even concerned with their public persona?
Well, one would think they are. And like I said, this is sort of, you know, we really have, you know, life really is cyclical and pendulums swing both ways. And I think that's what we're seeing is that you would have never seen this in the 70s and 80s when everybody was, you know, very pro-police. Police put their life on the line every day and we need to back our boys in blue and their heroes and all this other stuff. But the more and more these stories get out about how police are killing and injuring and violating the rights of otherwise innocent people or people who are just committing very, very minor violations of the law, then that is definitely having an effect on people's persona of the police. And there are lots of people who are very law-abiding citizens. They've got no other reason to be suspicious of the police, but they see on the news, and they see, you know, on the internet has been great about getting these stories out, that it doesn't matter if you're a 65-year-old man who's never been in trouble with the law before. If the police either have mistaken you for somebody else, or they for some reason just get it in for you for whatever reason, it may even be a personal reason, they can, you know, they can severely damage or ruin your life. That not all, you know, I think I may have told you this, your audience, this before, but like I like to tell people is that they're, you know, police, you have Andes and you have Barneys. And unfortunately, unfortunately, there's very few Andes left. And the police forces have mostly been taken over by Barneys.
Yeah. Coming up on the last break on the hour, when we get back, I want to talk to you about the weird case of Harvey Hill, the felon who has caused all this turmoil in the Stand Your Ground statute in Florida because he's a convicted felon who got attacked. Did you see that?
Not that particular, but I know that this has been a great source of debate about whether or not felons have a right to self-defense, or do they lose that?
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we get back. Texas/U.S. Law Shield. Find them on the web. Join them. If you're in one of the states, I'll tell you who they are when we get back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Do you own a gun? The attorneys and members of Texas Law Shield see every day how law-abiding citizens can become the victims of an anti-gun culture and a legal system that is designed to produce convictions rather than seek justice. Texas Law Shield is a firearm single defense program dedicated to protecting legal gun owners. We offer comprehensive criminal and civil coverage with our 24/7 emergency hotline. Texas Law Shield completes your armed self-defense plan. To become a member, visit TexasLawShield.com.
HempUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of micro plant powders. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
All right, welcome back. On a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load, the number to get in, 1-800-313-9443, with Edwin Walker from Texas/U.S. Law Shield. Edwin, I don't know what the rate is. I don't know if you know what the rate is. What is the rate of recidivism for somebody that is a convicted felon?
I'm not sure. I don't know
what
it is.
Is it pretty high? I mean, I really don't know.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I know that I've heard that it's been going down, but one thing with convicted felons, and I'm not here to defend convicted felons, but one thing that you see, you know, practicing a lot of criminal defense law, and especially with regard to firearms, since every state and the federal government prohibit firearm possession by a felon,
right?
You start to begin to realize whenever you talk to people that you know felons, you know. "Quote unquote felons come in all stripes, and you know maybe it's you know I've always kind of wondered if you know why You know, are all felonies created equal? I mean, clearly you want a, you know, you would want to keep a firearm out of the hands of Charles Manson.
Sure.
However, is it still, is it justifiable to prevent somebody who, you know, pled guilty to having a forged car title in 1985 to keep, to basically strip them of their firearms rights forever and ever and ever?
Well, I guess my question here is, now I know that they have upgraded over the course of, you know, going back to Nixon, you know, at one point, everybody wanted to seem tough on crime, so they upgraded certain offenses to make them more serious offenses.
Yeah.
And that's how things like car title forgery became felonies, I guess. And I guess my question is, in America, which is supposed to be a nation of second chances, among other things, when somebody has paid their debt to society, as they like to say, have they, I mean, I guess in the way, as far as being a full-blown citizen with all the rights intact and everything, you're not really, you never really have paid your debt if you're convicted of a felony, have you?
No, you lose certain rights during the time that you are suffering the punishment for the felony. So, you know, you certainly have limited rights whenever you're on probation, parole, incarcerated, that sort of thing. But then even if you get out, with regard to, the felony conviction, you know, conviction stays on your record forever and ever and ever and ever. The only way you can get rid of it is a pardon. You know, either a governor pardon for a state crime or a federal pardon from the president. And so, yeah, that lasts with you forever, and especially with regard to firearms. And so there are, of course, violent felons that one would hope would be legally prohibited from possessing firearms. I don't know that that works very well, because if somebody is truly a violent felon who's got no qualms about committing a felony, they'll buy a gun off the street. They,
sure,
they don't have to go down to your local, you know, Sam's gun shop to get one. They can always have possession one. And then you have the folks that, like I said, they have, you know, nonviolent crimes. They have, you know, governmental crimes, and now they're prohibited forever. The interesting thing about the man Harvey Hill that you brought up is it illustrates a point, and I don't know why it's getting so much attention, because it's just recognizing the law as it's always been.
Right.
The thing about it is that everybody, even if they are a felon, you know, even in prison, in state prison, you have a right to self-defense. If somebody is wanting to kill you, the law does not require you to just sit there quietly and say, well, I'm a felon, so go ahead and kill me. I can't legally fight back, so
right. Just
go ahead and kill me. That's not the law. That's not the law. Never has been law. Every human being has a right to self-defense whenever they believe somebody is unlawfully trying to kill them. What this law is talking about is whether or not, as a felon with a firearm, he is allowed some of the legal presumptions and the legal protections that the law has created above and beyond the simple right of self-defense. In particular, I think they were arguing about whether or not the Stand Your Ground law applies to him, which
right. Basically
says that, you know, which basically says that you have the that they are not allowed to argue that you had an escape route before you used deadly force. That's all the Stand Your Ground law says. That's what it says in Florida. That's what it says here in Texas. It just simply says that the state cannot argue, hey, it wasn't reasonable for you to use deadly force because you had an escape route. Well, in Harvey Hill's case, maybe he didn't have an escape route. So, you know,
well, I think another one of the sticking points is they're saying you can't use Stand Your Ground because you have to be engaged in lawful activity when you're standing your ground, and they're saying that by possessing a gun, he was not engaging in lawful activity.
Correct, and that's a requirement of the Texas Stand Your Ground law as well. As is this creation of a legal presumption that you were justified in using deadly force. You know, this is like self-defense plus. And so the old laws, everybody old laws said you could use, you know, every law says you can use self-defense. But then the legislature creates these legal presumptions that add on to self-defense. And all the law is saying is that, look, He's a felon. He had a gun. He doesn't get the benefits of these legal presumptions, but he still has the right to argue self-defense.
So in the case of Harvey Hill, he'll get to argue self-defense, and he'll still be charged with multiple felonies for possessing weapons and ammunition to go in the weapons, and I guess the magazine that holds ammunition that goes in the weapons, and all the other things they add to all of that.
Right. Well, yes, he could face all of those as well. The self-defense charge is only good against the actual act of killing his attacker.
So, legally speaking, a convicted felon could beat somebody to death, could knife them to death, but are there any provisions that says felons can't own a stick?
No.
Or a knife?
Nope.
It's just the gun?
Just the gun, yes. So that's why you have to look at, whenever we talk about self-defense, everybody immediately assumes that it's with a firearm. But that's not the case. Self-defense laws are written for everyone, whether they use their hands, a stick, a knife. You know, of course, the most expedient and the most efficient and the most probably the safest manner is with a firearm.
Sure.
But these self-defense laws apply to everybody, regardless of what they use. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Texas has a very interesting provision. Federal law says that a felon can never possess a firearm anywhere, ever, period, in the story. But that's in the federal law. Texas state law, however, says that after 5 years, after they've been released from the encumbrances of their felony, then a felon can possess a firearm in the residence where he actually lives.
That sounds pretty good. I guess my question here, and we're running out of time, is... When have you paid that debt to society? But we will talk about that at length another time. If you live in Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Florida, Colorado, or Texas, and there are other states online that they're wading through the bureaucratic red tape trying to get into your state for the most part, you can be a member of Texas Law Shield. This is the final tool in the toolbox in your self-defense setup. They are the ones that will handle the system you're not prepared to deal with. And as soon as, if you're involved in self-defense, if you shoot somebody in self-defense, after you've called the police, then you call them, and then you have the attorney-client privilege, and they're going to help you out as you wade through the legal system that you got dragged into by no fault of your own because somebody tried to commit a crime against you. Tell Michelle that she needs to be present next time. I just like the dynamic when it's the three of us going at it. I'll ask a question. I never know who's going to answer it. As always, I'm just, you know, that's why I ask them, just to see who's going to answer.
I know, Bill. You think I'm the boring guy.
In any event, you stay safe. It was good to hear from you. I got to call you guys anyway. Are you and Michelle going to be there tomorrow?
No. In fact, neither one of us will be here tomorrow.
Well, I will catch up with you later on this week.
Okay, sure enough.
Thank you,
Bill.
Sir. Stay safe.
All righty.
All right.
You too.
Bye. All right, we're going to roll into the third hour on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.